من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we begin with the tafsir, an explanation of ayah 11 to 14. So going back to the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, from ayah 1 to 5, we learn about the muttaqeen. Ayah 6 to 7, it speaks of the kuffar, or the disbelievers. And in ayah 8 to 20, we are going to be learning about the munafiqeen. If we are asked why the munafiqeen are covered in so many ayahs, we should know that this is because these people are hard to recognize. They themselves do not know that they are munafiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the names of munafiq to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at his time. Otherwise, he didn't know either. Some munafiq were very obvious, such as Abdullah ibn Ubay. He was known as the chief of the munafiq. Because of his wrongdoings, he was recognized. Otherwise, they were hard to recognize. As they had recited the kalama, they came to the masajid, prayed, fasted, and they also went to Hajj. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a ghazwa, which is a battle expedition that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would join in himself. So in this one ghazwa, he noticed that there was a sahabi that was not there, so he inquired about him. Someone said, he is a munafiq because he wasn't there. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him that he was not. It is possible that the Sahaba thought that so-and-so was a munafiq, but no one could really tell for sure. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was informed about the names of the munafiq by Wahi. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only confided to Huzaifa bin Yaman, who was known as the keeper of the secrets for the Prophet. So they are in fact disbelievers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, and they are not at all believers, and they have no faith. But why are they not grouped with the disbelievers? Because they declared themselves the Muslims. If one says, I do not believe in Islam, then they are easy to recognize. But if one says, I am Muslim, one cannot look inside their hearts and see what they really are. So what we learn is that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when someone just declares they are Muslims, it does not necessarily mean they are Muslims with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the criteria is, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that amal or actions depend on the intention. Intentions are in the heart. So whoever believed with all their heart, their faith will be accepted. Not one just saying they are believers by tongue. In dunya, no matter how much someone is satisfied with themselves and they consider themselves Muslims, they may not be considered Muslims unless Allah accepts their faith. Only then they are considered believers. This happens when what is in our hearts and what the tongue says are the same thing. Not that the heart feels something else and the tongue is saying something else. And no one else can tell nor look in our hearts to check how much faith we have or if there are impurities in our heart. No one can check, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what is in the depth of our hearts. He knows the deep hidden thoughts inside us. Only He can tell us who is munafiq and who is a true believer. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us some signs of nifaq. Nifaq is an impurity. No person likes to buy anything with impurities. Also, can anyone tell if anything has impurities mixed in it? Not really. For example, if someone mixes water in the milk, would you be able to tell? Or if someone is kind on their face, but has hatred in their hearts, you will never know about it unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it known by certain means. Also, do we like anything with impurities? No. Then why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it? He knows who is sincere and who has nifaq filled in their hearts. As someone who shows us that they are our friends, but the day we find out about what is in their hearts, we would not keep them as a friend. We must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all types of impurities from our heart and to remove any type of nifaq. This is a type of jihad. We must make a conscious effort to remove it. But for this, we need knowledge, so we know what it is and how to remove it. We learn of a dua that one can make to remove different types of impurifications of the heart. Allahumma tahhir qalbi minan nifaqi. O Allah, purify my heart from hypocrisy. Wa amali min riya'i. Wa lisani min al-kazib. And my deeds from riya, which is showing off, and my tongue from lying. Wa aini min al-khiyanati. And my eyes from treachery. فَإِنَّكَ تَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْعَيُّنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. For indeed, only you know the treachery of the eyes and what lays hidden in the chest. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify our hearts from nifaq. This is a very important dua. We learn about some of its signs. Because it is hidden, we must look in ourselves. As we look at the mirror to see ourselves, we must look and check to see if we do not have those qualities. But remember, we do not need to declare anyone else as a munafiq, because the nifaq is in the heart, and we can never say, I know what is in someone's heart. Even if we think about certain people with those qualities, still we cannot call them munafiq. The second thing to consider is that no one should consider themselves safe. We learn how Umar radiallahu anhu was always worried about him being a munafiq. And another companion, Hanzala, would be so worried that sometimes he would go around saying, Hanzala has become munafiq. While he was a companion of true faith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked him, why was he saying that about himself? Hanzala radiallahu anhu said, whenever I am with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I get reminded of Jannah and Jahannam. I feel as if I see all those in my eyes. But when I'm at home with my kids, with mention of worldly things, I am so busy that I don't remember anything. So I feel like I have become a munafiq. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was also listening to Hanzala radiallahu anhu's conversation. So he said, Wallahi, I feel the same thing. So they said, let's go to the Prophet ﷺ and ask him about this. So they went to the Prophet. So Hanzala radiallahu anhu told Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, O Prophet, Hanzala has become a munafiq. When the Prophet ﷺ asked him, Hanzala said, when I am with you, my level of iman is different. When I go to my wife and kids, and when I am occupied with the worldly affairs, my condition is something else. After listening to him, the Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by the one in whose hand is my life. If your condition was the same as mine, then the angels will come to you in your beds and in your paths and shake your hands. And Hanzala, this condition only happens at certain times. It doesn't stay the same. The Sahaba would be so worried about their level of faith and how, if it was different when they were with the Prophet and when they were at home, They worry if nifaq had entered their hearts. Because munafiq is one who is someone else in day and someone else at night. Something else in the apparent and something else inside. So Hanzala radiallahu anhu would worry about his fluctuating of iman. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this happens sometime. The level of faith goes up and sometimes down. When a person is away from the gatherings of remembrance of Allah and gathering of the righteous people and is involved in the worldly affairs, it goes down. At the gatherings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were the gatherings of zikr of Allah. They were gatherings of knowledge. The longer the companion stayed in that gathering, the iman increased. The more you are away from these type of gatherings, you can see how the iman goes down. Just as we can see how our faith is when we are learning Quran versus other times of the week when we are not learning. As there are levels of iman, it is possible that the level of iman becomes weak. But this does not mean one has become a munafiq. And we cannot know who is a munafiq. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is a munafiq. So we cannot give fatwas and say so and so is a munafiq. Usama bin Zayd was in a battle and fighting with a disbeliever. The disbeliever he was fighting fell down with his sword. Usama grabbed his sword. Meanwhile, the man recited, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So Osama radiallahu anhu thought that he was just a disbeliever a minute ago and now he's reciting the kalima. So he thought he's doing it to save himself. So Osama killed him. When he returned to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him the entire story, how this man had recited the kalima to save himself. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam became angry and said, did you rip up his chest and look inside to verify that he didn't say it sincerely? From this matter, we learned that even though it seemed obvious that the man might have recited to save himself, but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, did you know about what was in his heart? So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that about the case of Osama radiallahu anhu, then we cannot know the inside condition of someone's heart, no matter even if the condition seem clear. We cannot say that someone is a munafiq. The third point is that the munafiq will be present in every time. We shouldn't think that they were only present at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, or were from among the tribes of Aus, Khazraj, or Yahud. Those who recited kalima and accepted Islam and became munafiq, that these ayahs are only about them. Then these ayahs will become irrelevant. Nifaq will be present at every time, but we cannot say to or about anyone that they are munafiq. And we cannot say that they are not present today. We must worry and make sure that these germs and sickness does not get inside us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called this a disease. Once a companion asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Rasulullah, when we recite certain ayahs of the Quran, we feel very hopeful and they encourage us. But some ayat are such that they break our backs and we feel hopeless. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, shall I give you clear recognition of people of Jannah and Jahannam? Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the first five ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah from Alif Lam Mim until Muflihun and said, these are the people of Jannah. The Sahaba said, Alhamdulillah. And they felt satisfied that they would be from them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited from Innal ladhina kafaru til azabin aleem and said, "These are the dwellers of the hellfire." Then the Sahaba thought that we are not like them. Then the third group mentioned after that, one has to do their own assessment. And we should not deceive ourselves. Bima kanu yakzibun. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us three signs of a munafiq. The first, when he speaks, he lies. He lies to himself and he comforts himself. And they don't deceive except themselves when they say they are not like that. Second sign, when they make a promise or a contract, they break it. They have no regards or cares in breaking contracts. Number three, when someone entrusts them, they break the trust. The next thing mentioned in the hadith is a very dangerous matter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even if the person fasts or prays and thinks he is a Muslim, but if he has any of these three qualities, then he is a munafiq. And another quality mentioned in a hadith is that when he disputes, he resorts to cursing. At the time of a dispute or anger, he goes out of control and doesn't know what his tongue is spilling. One who looks so calm and cool under normal conditions, when they see them like that, one wonders who this person is, as the true inside comes out and reveals itself. The Quran mentions, وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ as munafiq men and munafiq women. So women are also or can be munafiq. If we look at Ayah 11, they are told to do one thing and stop for one thing. In Ayah 11, what are they stopped from doing? And in Ayah 13, they are commanded to do something. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ and when it was said to them. Them is who? Who say we believe in Allah and the last day. When it is said to them, do not spread corruption in the earth. They are told not to make mischief. One type of fasad or corruption is killing, cutting down trees. This is a limited meaning of corruption. To understand the actual meaning, we have to think about who does the earth belong to? Allah? Then whose command should be obeyed? Whose will should be followed? The answer would be Allah. Just as whoever owns the house, they are free to do whatever they want in their house. So, respectively, whose earth is this? Some people say we are free. Why does Islam have so many restrictions? For example, why do we have to wear a hijab? Or they question other commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they need to think about is whose earth are we living upon? So who should be obeyed? For example, if someone comes to our house and they start saying, I will do whatever I want. Put this thing here or put this thing there. Get up this time at that time. You would say, who are you to take control over my house? This is my house. We are intelligent in this case, that if it is our house, we know that we should be able to do whatever we please. But the earth we live upon is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's. Then how can we say we can do whatever we want to and not obey the master or the owner of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So what is fasad fil ard? Whoever opposes the commands of Allah and whoever says and believes that their own will or someone else's will and command should be followed and not to follow the commands and will of Allah, then this is fasad or corruption. When we believe in Allah as our ilah or God, and that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger, then we have to follow and obey whatever they command. So whenever anything is done opposing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commands, then this is corruption or fasad fil ard. We cannot even say, I will do whatever I want. What is Islam to tell me? While we attest that Allah is our ilah, then say, I can do whatever I want. Then in reality, we have made our nafs and our desires our ilah or master. We learn that even nafs is worshipped. And this is such an ilah or object of worship that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the worst object of worship is nafs, because it does not follow any laws or precepts. And today it is worshipped the most. When people say, I do whatever I want, I don't care for halal or haram, I just want whatever it is I want, and I will do as I please, then we are becoming gods. Even if you look at it collectively in the society, laws are made without the consideration of commands of Allah. We say people will make laws. So who did we take as ilah? People. Or we say, what can we do? We have to do what other people do. We have to follow the trends of the society. Then in that case, we have bowed to the society, even if we say we are Muslims. In reality, this is fasad, either individually or collectively. So corruption or fasad is not just killing and violence, nor kidnapping, but it happens when anyone leaves obedience of Allah and start obeying all others. This is corruption, and it causes corruption. If we look at the munafiqeen, they would say that they are Muslims, they live like Muslims. Then they would go to the disbelievers and talk badly of Muslims and incite the disbelievers to fight against the Muslims. If we closely look at the munafiqeen, what was their corruption? They lived as Muslims with the believers. Then they would go to the disbelievers and tell them they were with them. They adopted a double policy. Then they would talk badly of Muslims, arouse the disbelievers to fight against them. They would spy on the Muslims, and they call themselves Muslims, and sometimes even pious Muslims. But their intentions were not sincere, and the inner was corrupted. No matter how good one looks in the outwardly, as they looked, they would say, why do we need to take a stand for the truth? Let others do whatever they do. What is your problem, you Muslims? You don't have anything, so why are you confronting the disbelievers of Makkah, who are so powerful? They would agree with the Muslims when they were with them, but when they were with the disbelievers, they would agree with them also. For them, sacrificing, taking out time to convey the message of truth, convincing others, was the work of the foolish. They said, indeed, it was enough just to pray and fast only. And they said, why are the Muslims standing up to the disbelievers and conveying to them? So these munafiq, they did not belong here nor there. They radiated back and forth between the two. They could not decide whose side they were on. They went back and forth, and they go back and forth like a pendulum, and try to keep peace with all parties. And they say, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. They say, indeed, we are the reformers. We don't want any conflict. We want to live with peace. But what was the mission of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He came with the true deen, so he had to propagate it to the mankind. This was his mission. And they said, don't do this. And these type of people exist in every time. They say they are the reformers, but they are only saving themselves. They do not want to face any worldly losses if a problem arises in Islam. So they were the ones making mischief in the name of Islah or reform. There were believers who tried to stop them from their mischief, but they would say, we are reformers. Innama nahnu muslihun. What else do we learn about their character? They never admit their mistakes. Because only if they admit, they would be able to fix themselves. They say, innama. Only. This is the only thing that we are the ones who reform. Not to make corruption. We don't want to see any enmity or war. We are ones to make reform. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about them? Ala, beware. Indeed, they are the ones who are the mufsid, those who spread corruption, but they do not perceive. They don't even have the perception or realization that they are making trouble. Then we learn that a conscious munafiq is someone else who comes into Islam just to spy. These are the ones who do not even realize that they are munafiq, and they think they are the ones who do good. So there are many who, in the name of deen or Islam, do such activities and say we are not making fasad or trouble, but we are doing reform, while what they do is spread corruption in the earth. Or they say they are doing good and everything becomes good. In the name of Islam, they defame Islam. So if a person truly doesn't know to differentiate between truth and falsehood, what can one do? They should make this dua. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqq. Warzuq ittiba'ahu. O Allah, show us the truth as truth. Because many times the truth is vague and people get confused whether it is right or wrong. And by mistake, they take the side of the falsehood. So, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuq ittiba'ahu. O Allah, show us the truth as the truth. And give us the ability to follow it. وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلَ وَارْزُقْ اجْتِنَابَهُ. And Allah, show us the batil of falsehood as a falsehood. And give us the ability to save ourselves from it. This is because we get confused in the gray areas and where to go. In a hadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the fitnas or the trials will be so widespread that the people will not be able to see what is the truth and what is the falsehood. They will not be able to see what is right and what is wrong. This time is today, because many people do such evil activities in the name of Islam. Some do it in the name of reform, or some in the name of spreading Islam. Do things that hurt Islam. People don't know if to follow in those or not. They get confused. The thing to do is look behind every activity. Is it benefiting Islam or harming it? Is it to propagate Islam or does it defame Islam? When we look for this, we can find out. Think of the end result and its outcome. Here in this ayah, it's emphasized, hum, they are the spreaders of corruption. These are the ones. Secondly, they are told to do something. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا. When it is said to them to believe, they had already recited the kalama, so why are they told to believe again?
Because, yes, they recited the kalima, but what they have is not acceptable. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Not everyone who recites kalima or testimony of faith gets accepted. So what type of iman or faith should they bring? What base or criteria will their faith be checked upon? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ. Bring iman or believe like the people. An-nas. This is a proper noun. Just as al-kitab is like the book, referring to a specific book, not just any book. So these are specific people. All scholars have an ijma or agreement or consensus that these are the sahaba or the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar, Abu Bakr, Ali, Usman, and the Ashara Mubashara, those given the glad tidings, all of them. Bilal Habshi, Suhaib Rumi, radiyallahu anhuma. Bring iman like theirs. Criteria of iman or faith is those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised the bar. Those who have reached there have to bring faith like them. We should all understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us the criteria in the Quran. So if you want to be called a true believer, bring faith or believe like these people. Now this was not just told to the munafiq, but this is for all of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will check us for it.